So you have a itinerary and your love over landing. You have plans to do it big on the trace and some super glamping. One idea, deep news and reviews, a podcast the first rate and here just for you. You don't have to think about it, join us and be about it. Something interesting we want to hear about it, come on let's talk about it. Welcome to Waypoint Overland's Random Waypoints Podcast.
Sponsored by Midland, communication for every adventure. The industry leader in radio communication technology and innovation for over 50 years. Sponsored by MyMedic. Sponsored by Tembo Tusk. Sponsored by Shower Pouch. Sponsored by DeMoss Collective, mission built and made for mobility. Sponsored by BrewTrek. Sponsored by Hard Impact Designs.
Always remember, the opinion you follow should be your own. Just consider the things stated here to be a second opinion from a complete stranger online.
So that everybody kind of knows, we should tell them that this is one of the ways that you and I, this is one of the things you and I bonded over.
Yes.
We were just sitting around a campfire, we were hanging out, and all of a sudden here come the knives out from the cars, because we were just sitting around talking, and all of a sudden here come the knives. So yeah, this is one of the things we bonded over.
A lot of knives.
That was a fun night.
So I don't think we're the only people who get excited about knives. A matter of fact, I know we're not the only people who get excited about knives. I've gone to knife shows, so I know that there are a lot of people that are, maybe there's actually people who are probably more fanatical about it than even we are. There's absolutely people who are more fanatical than we are. Mm-hmm. You know, the earliest knives were crafted by Homo sapiens using flint or obsidian, which is thought to be approximately 2 million years old. So knives have been a part of human existence for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they've always been a thing of value. Matter of fact, I think they may have been of more value thousands of years ago than they are now.
Well, it's part of survival, you know. Oh, yeah. They're survival tools, quite literally.
Yeah, they served various purposes, such as cutting food during hunting, preparing their hides for clothing. Just about everything they did, they were using this knife. So when you looked upon a good piece of obsidian or whatever material it was, and you got a sharp, or and it was sharp, you valued that thing. It would save your life, and it would make your life more comfortable. It was like a creature comfort to have a good knife. You were balling.
So one of the important things, I think, is people are choosing knives. The number one question should be, whenever they're looking for a knife, is what am I going to use this for? So I think that's the first question.
Okay, so are we going to break things down that way? Or how are we going to do this? Do you want to go by brand and show all of one brand? Or do you want to... How about we just start?
Yeah, we're just going to start and bust out the knives and, you know, the first ones. And I know, okay. I think I'm going to break it down because I've only got two of the same brand. Okay. So,
all right, so I'm going to start with answering a question, which is how the idea of this whole knife show even came up.
Okay.
And somebody just told me to recommend them a good knife. And then they extended the question and said, what did you take with you to Alaska?
Okay.
So I'm going to just show you what I took to Alaska.
All right. What's funny is that's exactly what I was going to do too.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the one that I would carry when I was going into like the cities, like when I go into Anchorage or something like that, and you don't want to have your big giant knife on your hip. This is also a knife that I use when I'm going to like a festival where there's going to be food. Maybe it's a food festival. And it's my Falkneven WM1. And this particular knife was actually created for women originally. That's what the WM stands for. They made a small knife and it was initially meant for women, but men were the ones buying it. So now they don't even talk about that anymore, but it was originally a women's knife.
Okay.
And as you can see, it's a really short knife. It's stainless steel, but it's a special stainless steel. It's from Japan, the blade, and it's called a VG10. So it's two different metals and they laminate one over the other. And unlike a lot of knives that have a secondary bevel, this convex goes completely to the edge. So you have to be very careful about how you, you have to not be very careful, but know how to sharpen them because they're sharpened a little differently. And we're going to talk about different blade styles also. Now, the knife that is generally on my hip is this one. It's the Falkneven F1. And this is actually the knife that was designed for the Swedish Air Force. This is called their pilot F1 pilot knife, actually. And it's actually one of my favorite knives. It's very basic in its design because it's only got like what they call a thermal run handle. It's got a little hole for your lanyard, and then it's just a big chunk of a blade. And again, it's the same kind of geometry as the other knife I showed you, VG10 steel. So it's a chunk of metal with metal overlaid over it. The blade is actually made in Japan and sent to them in Sweden. And then they complete the knife. They sharpen the blade and they put the handle on it. I've had these knives for at least a decade and they almost look brand new. If you were able to look at them very closely, you can see there's a lot of scars on them from hard work. But from a distance, it still looks brand spanking new. So this is my most carried knife during my whole trip because of its size. It's small enough to do the small things, but it was big enough to do the big things. And then I had one other knife, and it's a Falkneven S1. And I call this a bear tickler. It made me feel better to have it on me when I was camping, to have this in my bear spray. And again, another good knife, VG10 laminated thermal run handle. It's got a 5.5-inch blade and it's a beautiful knife. This is the knife that I think James Bond would carry if he was going camping. And I want to go back to my woman's knife, the little knife. This is my charcuterie knife. This is the knife that when you invite me to come over to your campsite or I'm at the campfire and you pull out some salami or some whatever it is, this is what I'm going to cut with and get my portion with. This is my all-purpose little knife. So these were the knives that I took to Alaska, and you're probably saying, oh no, I saw you when you left Alaska and you had way more knives than that. But these were the ones that I was carrying. And this is the answer to the question I was being asked. These were the three that one of these was on my hip constantly. All right, it's on you now.
So the first one that I'm going to show you that I carry, and it's been almost everywhere with me, is called the Surefire Folding Delta Knife. This is actually a multi-tool as well, believe it or not. It's got an 1/8 inch titanium frame on it, a cutter and a crimper, finger guard with screwdriver, a slotted self-seating wrench, cord, harness cutter, window breaker, and it has a reversible pocket clip. So all over, overall, it's 8 total inches. Closed up, it's under 5 inches, and the blade length is just over 3.5 inches. And because it's titanium and steel, it's 4.5 ounces. So it's extremely lightweight. And I usually carry this. I shouldn't tell everybody where I carry it, because then you'll know where it is. But I usually carry it the small of my back. And it tucks just right behind my spine, just really comfortably. And it fits really well. And I've had this knife for, 2000 and I've had it for almost 20 years. So this sucker's been all over the place. The only place I didn't take it, I will tell you, was to Baja. Whenever I went into Baja, I took cooking knives only into Baja, and that was it. But this has been all through Alaska and Canada with me. It's very comfortable. It's extremely durable. And it's just a really great all-around knife. Surefire does not make this anymore. It is made in the USA, whenever it was made. You can find them used, though, through knife stores and online. And they're typically in really, really good shape. But this sucker is cut food and feathered wood and all kinds of stuff. The only thing that I will say that I don't care for about it, which is true of all folding knives, is right here, you'll see, I prefer a full tang knife, which I'll show you in a second. I prefer a full tang solid knife, because right here, this is your point of failure. This right here, where the blade moves, can be your point of failure. This is a very, very well-made folding knife, so I've never had a problem. But if it were to break, that's most likely where it's going to go. So there's that one.
Well, just one thing about that. Surefires are built like tanks.
Oh yeah. So, well, it's a combat knife. It's made for the military. So for me, it's an all around utility knife, but it is built for the military. So it's made for combat and utilitarian purposes.
What kind of blade is on that?
It's a steel blade.
It looks convex. I mean,
they call it a crucible blade, okay, is what they call it. And it's for stabbing. That's what it's for, is for stabbing. So it's very nice. It's a very nice, and it's super sharp.
Cool. What's next?
This one's also by Surefire. This is a fixed blade full tang knife by Surefire. And it's called the Echo. And it has a micarta handle on it. It's got a blade similar to the folding knife, the Delta. But this one, so this, the type of, it's got a black coating on it. And it is carbon steel with a layer of rust proofing. That's what the black handle, that's what the black coating is. So, but you can sharpen this really easily. So what's really interesting about this plastic case here, it actually has an integrated diamond sharpener, so that every time you put it in the sheath, it comes out and it's never dull. It is always sharp, super, super sharp. But the micarta handle is this. So this was made for combat and military also, but it was made for like the SEALs. So the micarta handle can handle the salt water and things like that, and it won't corrode. So this I use very similarly to the other one. I've feathered wood with it. I break down pieces, into smaller pieces after I've used my axe or hatchet on stuff. And it's just, it's just a really sexy looking knife too. I mean, look at that thing.
I love it.
Yeah. It's kind of great. I mean, look at that. It looks like it could do some damage too. So you've got a serrated end down here, and then you've got
and turn it sideways
like this. Oh, this, yeah. Way.
No side, so you can see the spine.
Oh, this way. Yeah, the full tang on this.
Yeah, that is a big old just chunk of metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it helps keep, it makes it stronger actually. So this, remember, in the Delta I was talking about, your point of failure was going to be your pivot point. This doesn't have that. So that's one of the reasons why I prefer fixed knives if I can get a good one. So this is one I really, really like. So I found out what kind of knife that I really preferred as far as blade length goes by just going into my backyard. And I literally sat and feathered different pieces of wood. And I felt the balance points. I felt how much pressure I needed to apply, what made my wrists sore whenever I was applying the pressure, because, you know, they move in a different way. Each blade length and type moves in a different way. So the next one I'll show you, I really like too, and it's one of my favorites, but this blade length is my preference. So something a little bit shorter is what works best for me.
Same here. I get caught up into size, just like everybody else, like, oh, big knife. And, you know, I've got a bunch of big knives, but they end up just sitting around.
Yeah. Well, as far as knives go, this one right here, I'm going to show you is the Buck 119. This is a classic knife. This knife with that. Yeah. Well, it's what started the company to begin with, Buck. He was actually, the founder actually made the Buck 19 in 1942 during World War II, manufactured them in Idaho, where they're still made today, and shipped them overseas for the military. And this is the knife that they were given. I like the durability of this knife. I like that I can sharpen it to basically, you can shave with it. And it's, you know, it's another full tang knife, with aluminum pieces on it. And then, the molded, so this right here, actually, whenever they manufacture this knife, they actually, this is a screw and they screw it on, and that's how the butt of the knife stays on there. And then they, you know, mold it all together so it doesn't come apart. But I've had this knife. This is, so every Buck knife you can see actually has a mark on it where you can tell what year it was made. And this one, let me see, I wrote it down because I had to look it up. Let's see. Oh, clip blade. Well, anyway, at 2009 is, I believe what it was 2009. So I've had this for a very, very, very long time. It's a very durable knife. And it's also made for combat. I don't know. I guess I like. So, and this right here is called a clip blade because they clipped off roughly about a third of it and it's made for stabbing.
Oh, yeah. Clip points are sexy.
Yeah, I like them. I like them very much. In fact, I actually have a custom knife being made for me as we speak. And it's got a clip blade on it, too.
The aluminum bolsters definitely mean it's a fighting knife because. They've got substantial bolsters at the front and the back. Your hand is not going to slip off. And the only reason they're there is to keep, so you can puncture something and your hand not slide onto the knife.
It's kind of like an itty bitty sword. So it doesn't slide and you end up killing, you know, hurting yourself.
Thing about the Buck brand, you know, when you find another knife person and you guys are going through your knives, inevitably every knife owner has at least one Buck.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Swiss Bucks that they had way back in like the mid 90s? Do you remember those? They got together with Swiss Army Knife. I actually have one. I don't have it out to show, unfortunately, but I actually own one. But Swiss Army and Buck got together and created this multi-purpose knife called the Swiss Buck. It was, it's black. And it's got, you know, three lines down it, and it's got the same, you know, the signature blade on it and everything. It's super cute. And I'll have to dig it out so that I can show it to you. I'll have to bring it with me.
Yep. I tried to pull it up. The word comes up. It was with Winger, according to what they're saying, which is
no.
Winger is Swiss Army.
They still, so currently Buck still puts out a multi-tool. This was called the Swiss Buck. Mm-hmm. And it came out in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's a cool knife. You can get one on eBay right now.
Is it the black one? Oh, there it is. I see it. The Swiss Buck Legend. That's what it's called.
Oh, so there's more than one Swiss Buck then, because I'm not looking at that one.
Okay. It was produced between 1991 and 1997. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's, look up the Swiss Buck Legend.
I'll do it later. We're getting off topic.
It's still a knife.
What's your next knife?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. What's my next knife? So let's go with multi-tools. So this is a multi-tool that I carry with me. It goes everywhere with me. And it's called the Leatherman Mutt. Mm-hmm. And this was actually made for military as well, because you can take your gun apart with it and you can use it to, it's got all kinds of different tools for fixing your weapon in the field, basically. I like it because it's got some tools on it that normal Leathermans do not have. And I can't tell you how many times I've used it just because it's got a screwdriver on it. And then it's got a saw and everything. And this thing is just heavy duty awesomeness. And you see it's giant and it's extremely heavy, because some of these, they're not, well, you got a little clip back here and everything. There's several tools on this. I can't even tell you how many are on here, but it comes apart and it's just a really great little knife.
Multi-tools seem like a gimmick until you have one and you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have the Leatherman Wave.
Mm-hmm.
And when I actually think about it, you know, I kind of had an epiphany while you were showing your knife. I may use my multi-tool more than any of my other knives, actually. Quick car repairs, pulling a fuse out, putting a fuse in, screwing things, cutting things.
Flint. It's also got a punch for, like I said, for your gun stuff. If you have to pull your weapon apart in the field. So, you know, I have a lot of military grade things, just because of what my husband does, but that's how I end up with them. But, I know that you said you didn't want to talk about, you know, necessarily like custom stuff. This kind of isn't custom. This is really generic, to be perfectly honest. I bought this thing off Amazon. It's my neck knife. And I remember I showed this to you, and it's made by a blacksmith, and he still does it too. And I've had this thing since like 2016, and it's called Toferer, Toferner. And he still makes this cute little knife, but it's a great little neck knife. And this is the only one that I really took with me outside of my multi-tool and my kitchen knives across the Mexico border, because, you know, it was really short. So, and I just don't, you know, I figured if I needed another knife or something like that, there's going to be more down there. There's plenty of them. So I would just buy what I needed. All right. So this, I'm going to jump to another folding knife. Woo-hoo. This was actually gifted to me and it goes all over the place. It's a Benchmade 556 Purdue Mini Griptilian. So this is much smaller than the original Griptilian that you've seen. And obviously, I mean, it's bright pink. It's made as a lady's knife for a lady's small hand, but it's extremely sharp. And I keep this clipped just on the inside of my seat, because I have the seats in my Jeep that have the mollies on them. Mm-hmm. So I can put it directly next to me and have it within arm's reach if I need something.
A lot, and I mean a lot of people carry griptilians. Mm-hmm. What's so special about a griptilian? Why did you pick that? Now,
I didn't. It
let
was
me pref- let me preface. Oh, okay. There's the answer there.
Yeah, I didn't pick it.
Well, let me rephrase it a different way. You have a bunch of knives. You have a bunch of cool knives. What made you make that your regular knife?
the size. I really like how compact it is. I like that it's got a little clip on it. I can keep it within arm's reach. It's pretty much a go-to emergency knife if I need to, you know, get stabby with wildlife or a person or, you know, whatever. I very rarely use this for things like fire making and stuff like that. It's not the same, you know, as using, you know, say this guy right here for fire making. I like the size of it. It's convenient. And occasionally, you know, I'll put it in the small of my back instead of my Surefire. But that's pretty much the only reason. So.
Well, I was going to show it later when I got into my bench and it made knives, but, I have the bigger version
and the daddy version.
Yeah, it's just maybe what a half an inch or an inch larger. It's not that much bigger, but it's the bigger one. And they come with several blades. It doesn't have liner locks. We were talking about the strength of the joint area. Mm-hmm. This is one of the few companies and few knives that I feel comfortable with a pocket knife that doesn't have liner locks because of how substantial they reinforce the hinge on their knives.
Yeah, you can see it here. This right here, this little neck area is all metal. So they've done a really good job with it. The Benchmade's are really great knives. It's a really solid knife company. And
wiggle in it. None.
Mm-mm. No, it's a really good design.
What do you think about the mechanism that it uses?
It's simple.
The axis lock.
It's very, very, very simple to use. Yeah, and I'm able to, you know, deploy it pretty quickly and put it away. You know, all one-handed operation, which I really like.
Oh yeah, it's almost like an automatic to me.
Yep. Yeah. I like too that it can be for either a left-handed person or a right-handed person because you can, you know, actually move this to the other side of the knife. So a lefty or a righty could use it. Yes. And that's pretty convenient, I think. That's good.
Benchmade makes a similar knife now called the Bug Out.
Okay.
It's almost the same exact knife. Except the bottom is square instead of pointed like this one. And that's become their new popular knife. But I think this may be their best selling all time knife, the Griptilian, when you add up all the different colors and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You got Let's something see. Else for me or you want me to go or what?
You go. You get to have a turn now, man. I have a bunch of stuff back here.
I know. Don't that's what I was trying to. Color. I was trying to let you show some of them. Okay, so I showed you what I took to Alaska. I'm going to show you what I carry whenever I'm on a trip. I always have these. So I keep this right by my seat. This is a Benchmade Bushcrafter. And look how thick that blade is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's got nice red liners. I think it looks good, but that is not why I like this knife. I can cut anything. I can chisel anything. I can wedge anything. And I'm never, ever worried about breaking this blade. And this thing has been through a lot. I'd say this knife is about 7 years old. And it almost looks new. You know, if I handed it to you, you can obviously see, oh yeah, he's rung it through the ringer, but it's in very good shape. I always say it's not my favorite knife, but the reality is this is the knife I go to most often when I need a knife this size because of its strength, because of its handle. The way the handle's designed, It's not a true guard, but it's enough there for it's a good stabbing knife. It's thick enough where if you used it for self-defense, you don't even have to use the blade. You can turn it over and hit joints with it. And believe me, that person will stop. There was another version of this with a cream-colored handle, which was the original knife that Bench made, knife made. And they made it, I think, for the Marines or the Navy, one of the two. They have a crew that goes down under the water to cut cables and repair them for the communications they have back and forth across the world underseas. And this is the knife that they use to cut the cables. Now, think about the cables that I'm talking about. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a real, real deal heavy duty cutter. This is my go-to knife when I just have to grab a knife and depend on it. Again, I showed you the Griptilian. So we've already talked about that. This is the knife that is in my pocket when I'm traveling, I'd say 90% of the time. So that's my pocket knife. And you remember I was showing you the Falkneven that I said was like a woman's knife, but I call it my charcuterie knife. This is my normal charcuterie knife. It's a Benchmade. I think it's called a Canyon Hunter. I don't ever remember the names of these knives. This knife, well-worn. You can see all the scars on it. This knife has done a lot. Again, very thick blade. G10 handles. If you see, it's not a full handle. My last finger goes past it, but it's so firm in your hand, and it's only a short blade, and it has this jimping on the top, so that you have total control of the knife. It's a great
knife. It looks
knife.
Almost like the length of a boot knife, almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could make it a boot knife. It comes with all kind of options for you to carry it. So you could make it a boot knife. You can make it a neck knife. It's small enough to be a neck knife for sure. And nice. The Kydex sheath, it has enough retention where you could feel comfortable with this on you. You'd have to be really, really doing something very active for this to come out. And I don't know what that would be. But yeah, this is great for like cutting hard cheese, hard salami. And this is my charcuterie knife. This is the knife that I pull out at like a festival or something. You know, you're pulling out your knife, but you don't want to look like, you know, you're Rambo and shock people. This knife doesn't scare people. They're like, oh, it's cute. And they want to hold it and touch it. So this is a way to carry a substantial knife and not freak people out. So that's the bug knives. And now I've got other knives, but I'm going to take a little break right now and go back in time. So everybody remembers Rambo, right? His first movie, I think, was called First Blood, right? And that kind of sent a craze with knives, big, crazy knives that nobody would ever really use. And one of those knives that was made by Gerber. Do you remember this knife?
Gerber.
And I never used this knife, but it's kind of like a time capsule knife. This was a very popular knife back when those Rambo movies were out and people were getting them. There were three versions of this. This was called a BMF knife. BMF utility knife. Some of them had like these fanned edges on it. You know what I'm talking? Like teeth on the side of them. And then they had one that had like a little hammer thing on the back for you to hit people with or to bust windows. And this was the simplest of the three, but they all had this basic handle and the basic knife structure. They may have had additional stuff, but this was the basic knife. So this is kind of like just something from the past. this is something men used to buy and they all of a sudden felt manly. This was all about bravado because it wasn't a good metal. Mm-hmm. It's very heavy. This is one of the heaviest knives I have for per inch size, how much it weighs. Very heavy knife. So it's not a quick knife. And they always sold it like this is a survival knife for protection and stuff like this. By the time you actually bring your arm back and swing it, you didn't got stabbed three times because it's so heavy. It came in this raggedy nylon. But knife people of a certain age, I thought that they might appreciate seeing this knife. So that's the only reason why I'm showing it. It has nothing to do with, this is not a good overlanding knife. And then we were talking about buck knives. I've got the little baby knife. I think it's a 105. Yep, I've got the 105. Basically all the same features as the one that you talked about. It's just
got the same handle.
Yeah, yours is bigger than mine.
There.
And like I said, that really shows how big your knife is because I'm bigger on the screen than you are, and your knife is still bigger than me. But I actually, you know, if you're considering budget when you purchase your knife, this is a fixed blade that I would absolutely recommend. Buck has been around forever. They make good knives out of good materials. The only negative I could say is that the handle gets a little slippery in snow, blood. And that's what you're supposed to be. It's a hunting knife, so blood. The blood is going to make it slippery. But other than that, this is a great knife. I would recommend it, especially as a first-time knife for like your daughter or son. This is a teenager. This would be a teenager. This would be a great first knife for a teenager.
So I don't know if that the smaller version of the 119, the one that you have there. I know that this one is offered with different handles.
Mm-hmm.
So
the green micarta.
You can actually get one where it's not a slippery handle. So if that is a big concern, because I do agree with you, it does get slick if it gets moisture in it.
The only reason I didn't mention it is because the price goes up substantially, and it's actually still a good deal even for the upgraded one, but it's still like double the price of the other one, but it's worth it. I agree. And they look good.
They do look good.
Mm-hmm.
I like them.
So next, I'm going to give an alternative. Like I gave my three knives that I took to Alaska that I don't normally carry. Then I showed you my Benchmade knives that are my staples. Those are the ones that you 9 times out of 10 are going to catch me with. Those are the ones that I depend on. If you don't like those knives, another company that I suggest is Essie Knives, E-S-E-E Knives. And so I'm going to show you the three knives similar in size to the other knives if you wanted to go with the Essie Knives. So this is my Izulu, which means fire ant. These were made by the Essie Company, and the Essie Company is owned by Rat Training. Remember that name because we're going to come back to Rat Training. It's a very basic knife. It doesn't even come with these handles. You have to buy these handles to put on them. It's just a piece of metal. But I bought the handles, micarta handles, and it's still well under $100. This is a great knife to have. And I don't have any of the accessories on the sheath because I think that this knife is small enough to put in your pocket if you take off all of the things. So I can stick, in the way it's shaped, I can stick this right into my pocket and it fits perfectly and I can reach to grab it very easily. Not for self-defense. I'm not winning no battles with this knife. And then my mid-size or my bushcraft knife, Remember I said Rat was the company that owns Essie that makes their knives? Well, before they made their own knives, they used to have their knives made by a company called Ontario Knife Company. And they made, and they called that line of knives Rat. So there's an SE3, but instead of me buying the SE3, I already had the original SE3, which is the Rat 3. So the Rat team left the Ontario Knife Company and went on their own and made SE9s. But this is the original SE3, and it's called an Ontario Rat. And again, Micarta handles. Now, the thing I like about these particular ones, and if you're a hunter or somebody's going to be, you're concerned about slippage, Micarta, you have to know the Micarta that you're getting. This Micarta, as my hand sweats, it gets stickier. Some Micarta, it's like glass. You know, they're slippery in the beginning, and if you get them wet, they're even slipperier. But these are great knives. They put a coating on them, and I don't like coated knives, but out of the companies that make coated knives, Essie Knives and Rat, I think, have the best formula, because you can look at the handle. It's very obvious that I've used this knife a jillion times, right? But if you look at the blade looks almost new. None of the of it's coming off. It's in perfect condition. So if you're looking for a knife that's black coated, I recommend the Essies and I recommend the Ontarios. Now, my knife that is similar to the bigger knives is my SE4. And the thing I love about this knife is not just the knife, it's the sheath. Like right now, I just have these on here so I can put it on a Molly. But there's another thing. I can take these off and screw this other attachment on, and it covers the whole knife and it goes over the top of the handle. So I could have it upside down and there's no way for it to come out. And then there's a strap that goes around it. And then I have a tech lock. There's so many accessories for this knife for you to hold it. Now, the actual knife, again, it has the Micarta handles, sticky like glue. Not as sticky as the other one, but it's sticky, which is an important thing, which I like. I used to use this knife regularly. Again, I want you to look at that coating. That coating looks almost brand new. You have to really like look at the edges of the knife to see that, to even figure out that I actually use this knife, or look at the handle to tell that I use it. It looks almost completely new. So, like I said, I don't like these coatings, but if you're going to get one, this is the brand to go with. And that Kydex sheath, listen to this. Usually you hear a little rattle even with good Kydex sheaths. This thing don't rattle at all, and it clicks in so nice, and it comes out so easy. If you want it out, it comes out. If you don't want it out, it doesn't come out. So, and these knives, the equivalents that I showed you in Falkneven and Benchmade, these knives are all, I'd say, half price versus the other knives that I just showed you. So you're getting high quality knives, big brand names that people know, good quality knives for a lesser price. So I highly recommend these if you can get past the coatings. All right, I'm going to throw it back to you.
All right, let's see. Going. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I picked up this knife earlier this year. It is, I like the sheath, and I just kind of dipping my toe into the water with this company because we bought one knife by them and we really liked it. So I started looking at some other stuff. So this I wanted to be able to take with me though. So they make a few that come that actually have sheaths that you can purchase or that come with them. This particular knife, the sheath comes with it. It's extremely sharp and it's a cooking knife. It's made by the Cooking Guild. And this is their Onyx series. and it's their Damascus steel Hanta knife. That's what it's called. So this is Damascus steel. So basically, you're going to want to oil this sometimes. Whenever I sharpen my knives and I'm really trying to get them sharp, I actually use mineral oil. And that helps a lot. And it also helps to make a really nice sharp, put a nice sharp edge on this sucker. So, and let me show you what I use to do that with. I like sharpeners like this. These come with me everywhere. They're pocket size. Yes, there's kits you can get and you can get really complicated with things. But when I'm traveling, I just want to sharpen my knife and get on with life. So
whenever what kind of sharpener is that?
This is made by a company called Lansky.
Mm-hmm. I was going to do the sharpening part separate, but let's go into that after you finish explaining yeah. This knife. I love that knife.
Yeah. Well, it's a sexy knife. I mean, you love the lines and everything. And it's surprised. It's very, very heavy because mm-hmm. It is full tang and it's very thick. It's a very thick blade. So there's actually, for me, there was a learning curve in, because I have petite hands and things like that. You know, I'm a woman. So learning to cut with it properly in the kitchen, there was a learning curve. But once you get used to it, super easy. It's a great knife, extremely sharp. I can cut anything. I mean, anything with this thing. And, you know, it's got that look to where you can actually use it. I wouldn't feel bad using it as a bushcraft knife of some type if I needed to cut wood with it or something like that. It would definitely get the job done. But yeah, this is a, I was very, very impressed with this little knife. So I actually went back.
I like that knife. I remember when you first got it and you showed it to me. Don't ever leave it.
You know, I've had that response from a few people. Don't ever leave it sitting around. It'll disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so happy with that particular knife. I actually went back to the website on the Cooking Guild and picked up two more knives that I can actually take with me. These are recent acquisitions. I just got these maybe a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So one is from, they call it their Dynasty series. I'll start with that one. It's got a rosewood handle. The metal is from Japan. It's Japanese steel.
Beautiful.
And it's got a hand hammered finish on it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, rosewood handle. It's full tang. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really nice, nice little knife. You'll actually see this whenever we go to moon landing because I wanted, you know, I've got this nice kitchen set up, you know, with the Tembo Tusk with the new tables and things like that. I'm like, I need some, you know, some better knives hanging around. So I wanted them to be sheathed. That was important. That's why I kind of went this direction, is because I could sheath these knives whenever they travel.
Please show that sheath.
This is a
like a really nice thick sheath.
It's very thick. It's very nice. It's all leather, and it's really good and very simple.
Sheath.
And it keeps you. Well, the thing is, too, is whenever I'm driving around, I like to have my knives sheathed because if I have to put on the brakes, say this thing is loose somewhere, somehow I forget something because, you know, whatever, I don't want it flying forward and stabbing me in the back of the head. You know, that's so I want this sheathed. So then I've got this one. This is part of the Cooking Guild's hand forged collection. So this has got a different shaped blade. That's why I went with different collections. This is another steel knife and it's got another hammer. Mm-hmm. They make surprisingly good looking knives. They're very sharp. You can sharpen them, you know, and make them razor sharp as knives should be. I mean, but out of the box, let me tell you, this will take a finger off if you're not careful. It is, I mean, just the finish on it and everything. It's just, I want something that looks cool. I'm like, I should like what it looks like. I don't want just a standard looking cooking knife, you know? So that's one of the reasons why I decided to go with this, but it's well balanced and everything.
And when you have good cutlery that you like, you're more enthused about cooking.
Yeah.
Because you want to use your knife.
I can't wait to bust these knives out whenever we're at moon landing and we start cooking. Guess what? It's supper time. All right. Here come all the knives. Here they come. So those are my cooking knives. So now I'm going to go to, these are just more things that are sharp and pointy. These aren't necessarily knives, but these are tools that come with me.
Come on with
so
it.
So this,
I said, come on with it.
This is my hatchet, by Wetterling, and, it's made in Sweden with Swedish steel, with a hickory handle on it. And it is 10 inches overall. It's 10 and a quarter inches. So this thing, I mean, look at all the wear on this. I have beat the heck out of this thing because it's literally been everywhere with me. And I haven't had a problem with crossing borders with it or anything because it is considered to be a tool. So I think, and this thing is, I mean, super duper sharp. And I actually have a different sharpener that I carry to sharpen this thing. I carry this. This is a diamond sharpener. And it's actually got a coarse and a fine side to it.
I have the same exact axe. And I don't know what material, what metal it is, but it takes, it not only takes a good sharpening, a fast sharpening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Nope. Nope. Well, and Wetterling itself was an old company. It was 100 years old, real Swedish company. And the only thing that they say about it, it's Swedish steel. Okay, great. It's Swedish steel. That's perfect. But it was purchased in, I think, 2006, 2007 by another company. And they're no longer actively manufacturing these from my latest understanding. But because they had made so many, you can actually still buy these new, which is great. And I've had this one since 2016. And I'm very, very happy with it. And it comes with this little sheath on it. And I have a little a belt clip to it too. Actually, you can use, this is part of the belt clip also. You can wrap it around your belt. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one way to carry that. But I really like this. It's chopped a lot of wood, a lot of firewood.
Oh, I've even used it for food processing. No, seriously, cutting up. I bought a whole cow tail and used it to cut up, make oxtails, lamb shanks. So it's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I'm happy with it too.
Go ahead. If you had another knife you wanted to show.
I was going to show this unique piece of equipment that I carry everywhere with me.
Now, so, how are you cutting things with that?
So this is something that I did take into Mexico with me too, because it just looks like a shovel, and it is a shovel, but it's sheathed because it has a hatchet head on it. And it is super, super sharp. And you see how many times I've used this bad boy. So you can dig yourself out of holes. You can chop wood with it. It's extremely multi-purpose and it is compact. So as far as anybody knows, because of the shovel head, it just looks like a shovel and nobody asks any questions about it ever. So this is made by a company called Cold Steel. It's about $30 and you can get it on Amazon today. And it's really a fantastic piece of equipment. And I literally never leave home without it. I always have this with me 100% of the time.
And so, Cold Steel makes good knives. I think they're a good brand.
Yes, they are. Yep. Yeah. But I mean, you can see on the edge on this thing, I've sharpened the heck out of this sucker. It's a really great multi-purpose piece of equipment. If you're looking for like one thing that can do a lot of things, because I like multitaskers. If I can have a multitasker that can do a lot more stuff, that's my preference to buy. This is one of those. So Cold Steel, and it's called, there's a name for it too. It is called the Special Forces Shovel, I think. Special Forces Shovel by Cold Steel. It's 20 and a half inches overall. The head on this is 6.5 by 8 inches. And just a really nice piece of kit.
So let's break this up a little bit and talk about sharpening, because we've kind of gotten into it a little bit a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about how you sharpen at home, how you sharpen on the road, how do you sharpen How do you sharpen?
I have a few different sharpeners. So I've got, you saw this guy. It depends on the blade that I'm sharpening. This I prefer to use for, my hatchets. So the shovel and the axe, I sharpen both with this.
And what's it called, and what's the brand name?
This is made by a company called Smith's, and it's a diamond. It's a diamond sharpener is what they call it. So it's got a coarse side and a fine side. So it's double sided. So this and is a
Smith is in the business of making knife sharpeners. It's not like some little thing they do on the side. And the reason why I wanted to mention that is all diamond knife sharpeners are not all the same as far as the quality of the granular, the diamond granules on it. There's a lot of different things you have to take into consideration. Some of them you use it one time and they're no good anymore. Smith is one of the brands you want to look for, even if you don't get that particular one.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, for my larger tools, I'm going to call it my larger tools, I really, really like this to use that. So I also, from the same brand, I also started out because, like you say, this is all that they do is they make sharpeners, which is, that's kind of what you look for. But I originally started out with this little pocket one here. And I will tell you that I ended up switching to Lansky because Lansky's version is just a tiny bit bigger, just a little bit larger. And it's metal. It's aluminum. It's got an aluminum body instead of a plastic body. So I found that whenever I was sharpening, rather than... Especially, and I can't imagine a man with larger hands attempting to do this because they give you a little thumb grip, this tiny little thumb grip. I found it awkward. Even whenever I was holding it down on the table to just make it, to stabilize it, I found it very, very awkward. So I found the company called Lansky. Theirs is a little bit larger. You can hold it here like this, stabilize on the table really, really well. And then this one right here is just a tiny bit larger than this. So if you have larger hands, but you still want a travel size sharpener. And this even does different angles too. So there's a bunch of different angles you see listed on here to accommodate the blades that you've got. And then you've got this ceramic finisher on it. So I highly recommend this particular brand, which like I said, is called Lansky. I'm very happy with it. I like the size, but yet still is very compact.
Lansky, again, is not just some company that makes sharpeners. They are in the sharpening business. Noted brands like Spyderco actually sell them on their own websites and recommend you to use Lansky. So I just like people to know that. You want to go with the name brands with these because you'll end up, like I said, some of these sharpeners will work two or three times and then you've worn off their effectiveness and they're no good after that. So if you buy two or three of those, you could have went on ahead and got the good stuff.
Yeah. So at home, especially in the kitchen, we like the steel. We use the steel rod a lot of the times.
Conning steel. Yep.
And we actually have, I think, three of those laying around the kitchen. But then we also have the Wusthof countertop one, too, that it's got the handle on it. And you can, yeah, and it's just very convenient. And you don't, feel like you're going to chop your arm off whenever you're sharpening it because you stabilize it. You run it through a few times and you're good to go. I like that very much. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I don't even remember. Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say, I also have a couple of whetstones laying around that I like to use. And whenever I look for a whetstone, this also has a little nook in it here for your fish hooks on there. So you can, run them through and sharpen them. And for that, you either want to use, if you don't have oil with you, water, the reason why they call it a whetstone, or the mineral oil that I talked about. So I really prefer to use the mineral oil. We use it for our swords here because we do have swords in the house too. We have those actually mounted on the wall. And then we also have a Viking axe hanging on the wall too. And whenever we sharpen those, we use the mineral oils and all of that stuff too. So, and the whetstone. So
we're going to have to talk about swords. I have swords also.
Oh,
I didn't know. See, yeah, this is a rabbit hole we're going down.
But the swords aren't going with me.
any more sharpening stuff?
No, that's all I got for the sharpening stuff.
Okay, so we kind of go down the same road. Knives that I'm going to be using to like kitchen knives. I have this Wusthof one that I just slide first the coarse one and then the ceramic one, and then I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And for my Benchmates, this is something that I keep in my pocket when I'm on the when I'm out camping. So when I'm doing a task, I can just quickly take a knife and sharpen it. But this is for a knife that's already sharpened and I'm just cleaning up the edge or something like that. This is not to get it sharp. And I also have like a little toolkit from Benchmade. And it has all kind of torque screws and stuff so you can open and repair knives. But on it, part of it has a knife sharpener. So I use that sometimes because I usually almost always have this with me, because with this particular kit, I can pretty much repair any knife that I own with all the different torque wrenches and stuff on it. And then now I'm about to pull out the big boy on you. So I have a method in which I use for knives. I sharpen my knives at home. I get them as sharp as I possibly can. And then mm-hmm. all my other sharpening methods are to maintain while I'm out on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
This is how all my knives start. I have what you call a work sharp onion edition. And you see the belt? So I can just slide the knife on this side for the left side, this side for the right side. And you see those numbers? I just twist this, and I can go all the way from a 15 to a 30 angle. I keep it generally at 25. My outdoor knives are 25s. Your kitchen knives are going to be at about 20. If you're using Japanese knives, you're going to be at about 15. If you're using an axe and it's not an axe that you're trying to get a fine cut on it, I put that at 30. So this covers all my knives. It's on a belt. So I'm getting like the best. And some people are like, well, I don't want to run it through. I want manual control. Well, it comes with this. You add this little attachment to it. You put a belt on this. And then you can take your knives and you can manually sharpen them if you want. And it'll allow you to sharpen much larger knives. So I use that. And then after I'm done, even though the knife is completely sharp, I always finish off with my strop. This thing is filthy. So I always take my knives and I strop them. Matter of fact, I'll sometimes just be sitting in my office and I'll just pull this out and I'll just one knife after another, I'll just strop them. And this stropping belt, believe it or not, this is the key to getting that really, really, really crazy sharp. It gets it so perfect. And I have different paste that I put on different sides to get for different knives. And then I finish it off with my tough cloth. I clean it up and I shine up the blade, and this leaves a small layer of oil on them so they don't rust. Yeah, I got a bunch of other little things in here, but they don't amount to much. Just little small little things. But as you might tell, I am very serious about my knife. And it all comes in this nice Pin Onion Worksharp bag. I've got all my different belts, because I have different grades of belts for, you know, some are real coarse, some are real fine. And I highly recommend this thing. For everything that I just showed you, you can get all of this for under $200, I think. I know this is like about 170. I think this is like about 79. But I think you can buy like a package now of all of them together for like less than $200. And you're like, whoa, $200. But have you ever gone and gotten your knife sharpened?
It's not cheap.
You get a handful of knives sharpened twice, and that's the cost of what this is. A good knife sharpener is going to charge you maybe what? I'm not talking about just a regular kitchen knife sharpener. I'm talking about a guy who really knows how to sharpen. Mm-hmm. He puts it on the belt. Mm-hmm. He's charging you no less than $20 per knife. So why not get your own, learn how to use it, and keep your knife sharp? Mm-hmm. So after I put it on these belts, I can maintain it with the smaller ones that I just showed you.
I think it's important that you know how to do those things too, because out in the wild, you're not going to find the guy out there to do it for you. So you at least need to learn some basics. I mean, that I'm not an expert either, but I had to learn some basics in order to just keep my stuff sharp.
And a sharp knife benefits you in so many ways. Your mm-hmm. cuts are going to be better. It's less fatigue on your elbow, your shoulder, and your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and on. It has been proven that a sharper knife is actually a safer knife than a dull knife, because you start using more physical to compensate for the dullness of the knife, and then you lose some of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's not all about ego with the sharp knife thing or anything. It's a practical thing to learn and to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What you got for me next?
I'll show you this other little tool that I really like. This is my folding saw that I carry. And I like this
exactly
little guy.
What that is.
Yeah. You've got a little loop here, a little belt. It's, you just slip it, you know, between your belt and your pants if you want to. I use it, I tuck it in my Mollies, so I hang it in the back of my seats. And I really like this guy because it's all metal with a rubber grip covering it. Mm. So I had one previously that was a folding saw as well. And I really liked the blade, but the handle was plastic. So there was a bit more play in there that I would like. Whenever you're sawing something, you need to be more stable than that. So this little guy here, he unfolds to this. Now this is called their Pocket Boy, and it's made by Silky, and it is made in Japan. So it is extremely sharp. I mean, you can see how it gets used. I should probably clean it, but it gets used. So, but you know, it's extremely strong. It's got a great blade on it. I like this length a lot too. I will see, but I'll show you that in a second. I do have something else for cutting larger pieces of wood, but yeah, this has been really great. It's very lightweight. It's compact. If you're backpacking, you can stick it in your backpack, and it, you know, it's just going to be there and be convenient. So
I agree.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I have one in my fire kit, and the thing I like about it is I don't know the science or anything, but however they designed those teeth, it saws through things much better than any other saw I've ever had.
Yes.
I a lot less effort. And it, I mean, it goes right through the wood. I have that one and I have the big boy too. I think it's called a big boy XL or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the Pocket Boy, but Silky itself, this company makes much larger blades, just like you were saying. And I just really like this compact size and it's worked very, very well. So, but here is something that's kind of generic that I have. It's this little tiny deal. It's got a little tiny loop in the back and all it is. It's a chainsaw blade. And we recently used this. We were on the Oregon Trail. Mine. Yeah. Well, we were on the Oregon Trail and we had fallen trees. So we had to clear the trail. And so we busted this out because it's so huge. You can wrap it around and, you know, we both, you know, got on each end and we cleared the trail with this. And it was a fallen tree, like a legit fallen tree. So these are cheap. They are compact, ultra compact, very, very sharp, and work very, very well.
I have something that I use in place of that because I'm lazy, and I happen to live in the Pacific Northwest, where there's a high probability that you will encounter a tree falling on a trail. And you want me to tell you what's the worst falling tree to encounter in the world? Uh-uh. It's when you're on a trail that's not circular. It's a go and come back. So you got to come back that way.
Yeah.
And you went that way, some bad weather, and then a tree falls. The only way that you can get home, you got to do the tree. Because some trails, I just like, oh, I'll just take another route.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my solution.
The baby chainsaw. Yeah. That's not even the baby version. That's the big version. They have these little ones now that are just so small.
No, this
small.
Is the baby version.
No.
Because the big one is outside. I mean, not outside, but I have two of these. I have the 14 and I have an 18.
Oh my gosh. That's so
funny. The reason why I went up was not for the more inches. I got the bigger one because this one is a 20 volt. My other one is the 60 volt. So I don't feel any difference between that and my gas chainsaw. This one, I can tell I have an electric saw when I get to like one of those knurls in the wood or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not power. This is okay for like around the campfire. So go for the 60 volt if you plan on having only one saw in your vehicle, or you'll be very sorry. it'll run. The battery will just drain out on you.
Yes.
I pulled that out just to be funny.
I love it.
Because when you were showing the saws, I was thinking, do you know why I bought those saws originally? It's because I originally had the old kind of saws. And I'm always thinking about, man, I don't want to do all that work if I get into a situation. So I bought those saws because I was like, well, if I have to saw, at least it won't be as hard to do. So I just wanted people to understand the knife that you just showed, it's a major improvement compared to just like a regular saw, in my opinion, at least for wood.
Yes.
What you got next for me? Or is it my turn?
So I've got two left. They're just kind of honorable mentions. They don't really travel with me anymore or anything like that. Well, because you pulled out your Rambo knife and I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm going to pull out these two honorable mentions. So this is how long I have been into knives. This is my original pocket knife that was given to me whenever I was a child for Christmas one year. I've had this knife for almost 40 years and it's, I keep it sharp and I do take care of it, but it is an original made in Switzerland, Swiss Army knife. And it was a gift from my dad whenever I was a kid. And this used to go hiking with me all over the place. This used to be, if I was outdoors, it was with me. And I just love this thing. But yeah, this is very reminiscent of my childhood. My dad was a big outdoorsman, and he gave me a Swiss Army knife one year for Christmas. And I have it to this very day.
Well, Swiss Army knives have been the first knife for millions of kids, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first knives that I had. I found my first Victorinox or Swiss Army knife. It was one of those little knives. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved them. I loved them so much that I collect them and I don't use them. I have so. I've gotten into buying the Aluvox versions of the knives. This is the little keychain version. And I love this knife. You put it on, it's like weightless because of the material. And it has everything you need for a day in the city. Cut your nails, file your nails. It's got a little pen knife and it's got little scissors to cut material that you may snag while you're out and about. And then similar to yours, I've got a bigger version of the Alu. Like I said, I like to buy these. And one thing I like about them is they're a great gift too, because you can have initials put into them or a little saying or their name put right here on this little name plate. So, yeah. I love these. And this particular one, can opener, bottle opener. So this I would consider a multi-tool. That's why I pulled these out, because when you said you were going to have a multi-tool, I was like, well, I don't want to just like have a tit for tat. So let me have a different kind of multi-tool. So these are like my multi-tools. Mm-hmm. I've even got a Victorinox nail clipper. And it closes down. See how flat it folds down?
Yeah. I like the material. I like the material that it's made with. It looks really good.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, long time fan of Victorinox. That's another knife like the Buck. If the person collects knives and they have a few knives, they've probably got at least, and they've probably got more than one, but they've got at least one Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm. I have several little ones around, just in little first aid kits and stuff too. You know, the little tiny ones like you showed that you have, mm-hmm. the keychain version. We've mm-hmm. got them tucked into first aid kits.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Some knives that I wanted to have in this are in first aid kits, and I was not willing to take them out because I was worried that if I take it out, I might forget to put it back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
So we're talking about pocket knives. Do you have some other pocket knives you want to show?
Nope, that was it.
So I'm gonna do some blast from the past type stuff. I already did one with that Gerber fake Rambo knife.
Mm-hmm.
This is a knife that you're probably gonna recognize. Everybody's gonna recognize. This is as old school as you probably can get.
Yep.
These are case knives. This is their Trapper, which is their most famous popular knife.
Isn't the handle typically made of horn?
Yes, this one is made out of some kind of synthetic, though. The yellow one is not. But yeah, they have one that's made out of like sheep horn. And I think they have another one made out of like deer horn. They've got more than one horn, I believe. If you go on their website, like just even this one knife, they have like maybe 20 or 30 different type of handles that you can get on it. This is the very basic, most cheap one. I believe this is like a synthetic. But Case is an American knife company. They've been around forever. Their knives aren't expensive and they're high quality pocket knives. This is the knife that your father probably had in his pocket, or your grandfather or somebody. When I would go down south, to see my family when I was a kid, I used to always see some old man sitting in a chair.
Whittling wood
with that whittling blade. See, it has a blade just for that, because it's got two blades. So that's just a blast in the past. Now I'm going to show you a real classic knife, very inexpensive knife. I know, I don't know how much these cost, but it definitely didn't cost more than $20. And this is a knife that has gotten re-popular again. If you were to look at pictures of food on Instagram or something, especially pictures of charcuterie boards, this is going to be probably the most popular knife that you see. And it is an open nail. Oh, it's green, so you can't see.
That backfired.
But it's an open nail seven, or is it open nail seven? I'll have to put a picture up of it because it's green, so it's not showing up. But it's a very popular knife. I love that. That's so cool. Anyway, I love this knife. It's a sharp knife. It's a very basic knife, and it's a classic knife. I'm sure you've seen these. You probably got one.
You never know.
So are we still in the blast from the past? Okay, I'm going to want another blast from the past. The knife I'm about to show you is an example. It's not the knife. It's one of the knives. It's an example of a knife that many men have purchased in their life. They don't use. It's an ego thing, and it's the Bowie knife. So, here's my Bowie knife. Mm-hmm. It's a Browning, the Browning company. It's got micarta, it's got bone, it's got pin, special pinnings in it. It's a very nice knife that I never have ever used. You know how all the other ones I was bragging about, I use this one, I use it all the time. This,
yep.
What am I going to do with this?
It's this, that, you do the imitation, the for Crocodile Dundee.
It kind of looks like it, but his was bigger. And so that was that. Oh, one more blast from the past. They don't make this knife anymore, so you can't buy it. It's a Browning knife. This is a hunting knife. And can you see that? See how it's got the little Browning deer design on it?
On, yeah, I see that.
And again, it's bone, micarta, aluminum stock, full tang, titanium bolster in the front. It's a beautiful knife. I don't know why I don't use it, because it's a beautiful knife. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. I have knives that I'm like, oh, I like it too much to use. That's why I made a point of noting the knives that I actually use, because there's so many that I don't.
Right. So I've got one more knife to show you. And this is just, like I call it, the honorable mention knife, mm-hmm, because I don't carry it anymore. So this is, like you say, a blast from the past. This knife is the prototype. This was the prototype back in the mid to late 90s. It's made by Glock. And this is Glock's prototype for their original bayonet knife. And I have it. We got it from actually the owner of Glock. And it was gifted to me. But I used to take it everywhere. You can see how worn this blade is, how I've got it all jacked up, because I used to take it all over the place with me. But it's a bayonet knife, and it's a pretty cool knife. But now, with everything else I've got, this just stays at home now, because it's a prototype.
So that's the type of knife that's a good example for the word eponym. Eponym is like Kleenex, or, you know, where the brand name has become the name that people use. Like, people will call Jeeps things that aren't Jeeps.
Yes.
We call all tissue Kleenex.
Yeah.
Like people will call that a K-bar. No matter what brand it is, if that design, they'll either call it a K-bar or they'll call it, what's the name of it when they put on the guns? A bayonet, but most often they use the word K-bar for that particular knife. But it's not.
So the model number on this is KB17281.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a bayonet knife. And I'm sure the KB came from K-bar.
Okay. You're saying what? Repeat what you just said.
Glock KB 17.
And you said it came from K-bar?
The KB in the name of this knife, the model number, I'm sure probably was inspired by K-bar, like you say.
Okay, I got you.
Mm-hmm. But they call it a bayonet knife, but the model number is KB.
So I happen to have the K-bar,
the Army version. I'll see your Glock.
And it's practically no different. In a situation, I wouldn't care if I had this one or yours. This was made to stick you from a distance.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Was yours. Oh, I like that detail.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is meant to hurt.
Yes. That's made to crack bones as you pull out and destroy internal organs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
You have been listening to Waypoint Overland's Random Waypoints. Like, subscribe, and stay tuned for more.